Chapter 6, reading verses 9 through 13, our text verse, verse 13. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. And verse 10, ready? For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 12, ready? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Our text verse, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, Father, we come thanking you again for a beautiful Lord's Day and for the privilege we have to assemble ourselves here this evening. Dear God, we realize that when you went to the cross, you shed your precious blood. And then you said, it is finished. And dear God, how thankful we are that we don't have to work our way or pay our way. But dear God, that just one trip to the cross and you paid for it. Dear God, we realize that every knee one of these days is going to bow before Jesus. They're going to confess to Jesus Christ that he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, dear Heavenly Father, you know every heart here tonight. And Holy Spirit, if there's anyone here tonight that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray, dear God, that they'll do that before this service is over. And Holy Spirit, I pray you'll speak to our preacher as he comes to preach the precious Word of God. Because we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, tonight I want to speak for a few moments on the subject of yielding is filling. Yielding is filling. I am concerned that we do not understand about the fullness of the Holy Spirit in the context of life, aging, getting older, youth to adulthood. We read about D.L. Moody on Wall Street withholding and saying, God, hold back your power till I get to a room. And many of us would love to visit Wall Street so that the power of God would be so great we'd have to ask God to withhold it until we got alone. We read about Christmas Evans riding on a horse, that evangelist, itinerant evangelist, and literally being knocked off the horse. And so some preachers get some horses and ride in the countryside hoping God will knock them off the horse. We read of preachers sitting for 5 hours. As one preacher said, he sat for 5 hours before he'd stand up and speak a word because he wouldn't speak unless he had the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and then he stood to speak because he was full of the Holy Spirit. We read of Jack Hiles laying on his father's grave for many hours, and yea, even through the night and through the next day, and then God pouring out his Spirit upon Jack Hiles. We read, I think, is a great truth concerning the filling and the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Because, you see, I believe that every child can be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe that every teenager can be filled with the Spirit of God. I believe that every college student can know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I believe that every adult can know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But you don't need to get on a horse and go ride in the countryside and expect God to knock you off of it. And neither do you need two little old ladies praying for you. And I thank God for the people who pray. But you're not going to get a D.L. Moody experience, and you're not going to get a Christmas Evans experience, and you're not going to get these other experiences. And many of you are waiting for God to knock you out of the pew and for lightning to hit you and for the power of God to come. And so you sit and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait, and nothing ever happens. And I want to explain to you tonight why nothing ever happens. And so please, if there's ever been a sermon I've preached that'll be right down home where you live, and it'll help you, it'll be this message tonight. Yielding is filling. And let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, I sense that Satan does not want this message delivered tonight. So I need your help. I pray that you'll put a hedge around the people, around this building, around the property tonight. And I ask that, Holy Spirit, you'll please make the Scripture plain tonight. Lord, as we use the Bible, as we look at Scriptures, I pray that you'll make the Bible live and help us to understand the subject of yielding is filling. And God, I pray for the preachers in this room. dear Lord, that want to be filled with the Spirit of God, but they're expecting to be knocked out of the pew or out of the chair, and they're expecting some lightning bolt from heaven or some angel to be come down and touch them with power. God, help us to see the truth tonight. Lord, help us, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles in Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. I want to give you a title for each chapter. I have some preliminary remarks I want to make, and so please listen carefully. Above chapter 6, write the word victory. The word victory above chapter 6. If you want victory over sin in your life, then you memorize Romans chapter 6. Now, in chapter 7, above it, I want you to write liberty. Liberty in chapter 7. In chapter 6, you have victory over sin. Paul told us how to stop doing bad things in chapter 6. Now, in chapter 7 is a chapter of liberty. And Paul tells us how not to do good things and how not to misuse liberty in chapter 7. In chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, above that chapter, write the word security. The word security. Above chapter 6, you have the word victory. Victory over sin. In chapter 7, you have the word liberty. Liberty in chapter 7. Above chapter 8, you ought to have the word security written. Now, let's go back to chapter 6, and I want you to look at our verses that we read tonight, and there are three words I want you to circle in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 in verse 9, I want you to circle the first word, the word knowing. Romans chapter 6 verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Now, we ought to stop and shout a while about that. Because, you see, you need to know that tonight. You need to know that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He died once for your sins. Now, verse 11. The second word I want you to circle is the word reckon in verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we live tonight because Jesus lives. We have died tonight because Jesus died. Because in him we were crucified, and in him we died, and in him we were resurrected, and in him we live forevermore. You see, our salvation does not depend upon us tonight. It depends upon Jesus Christ and what Jesus did tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Amen. All right, now the word knowing, reckoning. Now go to verse 13, please. Verse 13. Neither yield. So circle the word yield in your Bibles, please. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. All right? You have three words circled, the word knowing, the word reckon, and the word yield. Now, the word knowing, next to it, I want you to write the word mind. The word mind. The word mind. The Bible says you ought to grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord. Now, if you're not reading your Bibles, you're not growing in the Lord. If you didn't read your Bible this morning, you're not growing in the Lord. If you're not going to read your Bible tomorrow morning, you're not growing in the Lord. If you're not going to read your Bible on Tuesday morning, you're not growing in the Lord. If you don't read your Bible on Wednesday morning, you're not growing in the Lord. Oh, say, Brother Gray, I love your Sunday school, love your preaching, and love your Wednesday. You won't be around long. You'll just love it for a short season. You know why? Because unless you get in the Bible, you're not going to stay in church. All right, now, the word reckoning, right next to it, the word heart. The word heart. Now, you cannot reach your heart until you first fill your mind. Now, once you fill your mind, then you can reach your heart, and the right things can be touched in your heart, you see. You see, you'll cry over some dead dog getting hit in the road, some sad story about somebody losing their little puppy dog, and you won't even shed a tear when we talk about Jesus dying for your sins. Won't even shed a tear about people dying and going to hell. Won't even shed a tear because we need 15 bus drivers in this church in order to ride. Won't even shed a tear because boys and girls are left sitting alongside the highway because they haven't got enough money to put the buses back on the road or get enough bus drivers to drive the buses. You won't even shed a tear about that. But you cry about some little puppy dog story. Now, what's wrong is you're not filling your mind with the right information so that your heart can weep over the right things. Come on, say amen to me now. You see, knowing is the mind. Reckoning is the heart. Now, the word yielding, that's your will. Right next to it, will. The will. Yielding is the will. Yielding is the will. Now, you have first knowing, that's the mind. You got to fill your mind with the things from the Word of God. You've got the word reckoning, that's where your heart gets touched about the right things. Now, it does not know what to get touched about until you put it in your mind. Once you put it in your mind, then your heart knows what to get excited about. But your mind, listen, you folks that don't come back on Wednesday night, God bless your pea-picking heart. No wonder you have to watch soap operas to cry some tears. No wonder you've got to read your novels to cry some tears. No wonder you've got to read your romance novels to get your heart stirred. My dear friend, if you'll fill your mind with the things of the Word of God, your heart automatically will be in tune with the things that your preacher wants in reaching this East Texas and Louisiana and Arkansas with the gospel in God's dear name. Fill your minds with right things. Amen. Then your heart will know what to get emotional about. But you don't know what to get emotional about because your mind is not telling you what to get emotional about. Listen, if you know adultery is wrong and some woman flirts with you, then your mind's going to say, oh, that's bad. Get out of here. I'm a fooling with you, woman. But if you don't know that adultery is bad, and if you don't fill your mind with the Word of God, and some good, cute-looking chick comes along and starts flirting with you on the job, fella, all of a sudden your heart will start pounding like this. Why? It's pounding over the wrong thing. Why? Because you haven't filled your... By the way, go ahead and go to movie houses and see if you don't start looking for some cute blonde. Come on, talk to me now. Go ahead and sit around and watch Magnum P.I. Come on, sit around and watch Simon and Simon. Sit around and watch your stupid television program and see if your mind is not filled. All right, teenager. And by the way, parents, woe to the parent that ever takes a little child and introduces that child to a movie house. That stuff is straight out of hell. That stuff is straight out of hell. Hollywood wants to do one thing to your children, and that's prostitute them to the rest of the world. I want you to know my children belong to God Almighty and not to Hollywood. Amen. Somebody say amen. But in these pussyfooting here, tickling back, scratching reverends, and hadn't got enough guts to get up in the pulpit and preach their people the truth, the rascals ought to be fired. God's dear name, quit taking your kids down to that cesspool, that Hollywood. Stop. Straight out of hell. By the way, you folks with your VCRs that rent Top Gun for 94 cents and get that garbage in your house, listen, if you're not going to put Lester Roloff on that VCR, get rid of that crazy thing. Amen. Now, it depends on what you fill your mind with. You fill your mind, you visitors, don't look at me that way. This is the way preachers used to preach years ago. And by the way, what are you doing here tonight? Huh? Listen, if your preacher's not preaching to you, then you get down here, join this church, jump on in, the water's fine, in God's dear name, get somewhere where somebody's doing something. And I'm telling you, if there's a church alive that cares about keeping people out of hell, it's this church. You go for your little religious seminar on Sunday morning, come down here and slum it for a little hellfire and damnation preaching in God's dear name. Why don't you jump in here? The water's fine. First, you got to fill your mind with the right thing. Then you can reckon your heart and you know what to get emotional about. And then, and only then, can you yield your body properly. Now listen, you know why you look at me, and some of you are just trusting me on this movie thing. Some of you young converts, I saw you a little while ago, you looked at your husband and said, we ain't going no more. Now, and you hadn't even been saved 2 weeks. And you know what you're doing? You're trusting your preacher. And God bless you, it's the smartest thing you ever did. But in the meantime, while you're trusting me, why don't you trust me on this matter of you reading the Bible too? And why don't you read the Bible? And why don't you get in the Word of God? And why don't you find out for yourself what the Bible says about separation from the world? Now, knowing, that's the mind. Reckoning, that's the heart. And yielding, that's the will. And the part we want to talk about is the yielding tonight. Now, I'd like for you to stand, Brother Cawthorn, if you would. There are five phases of work of the Holy Spirit of God. Five phases of work. Five phases of work of the Holy Spirit of God. Here they are. Phase number one is regenerating. Regenerating. The first thing the Holy Spirit of God does when you open your heart and ask Jesus to come into your heart, Jesus comes through the Holy Spirit of God into your soul and regenerates you or regenes you. Now, the way you came into this world, you were your mama's genes, your daddy's genes were put together, and you were gened alive. Now,
The way you become spiritually born is by you opening your heart, and the Holy Spirit of God takes the seed of the Word. And let me just pull over and park here for a while. Buddy, you are fooling with the seed every time you write a new Bible. I didn't get enough amens on that. Listen, you better be careful, because when you start taking Mr. Taylor's paraphrase and the NIV and the American Standard and the rest of it, you're fooling with the seed. Don't fool with the seed. You know that they can make kernels of corn now and seed now, and it looks just like kernels of corn and looks just like any other seed. But the one thing the scientists have not been able to do, and that's put any life in the seed. Only God can put life into the seed. And I'm telling you tonight, only God Almighty can put life in the seed. It's God's Word. Always. Hey, by the way, it was all, has always been, forever thy word has been settled in heaven. Now, you ain't got no business writing a new word, because it has seed with no life in it. All right, now, so here's regenerate. Take your Bibles, turn to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says this: not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Now, you have been regened. You are alive because the Word of God, or the seed of the Word of God, came into your heart and you got born again. Hallelujah. All right, now, second work of the Holy Spirit. Stand up, Brother Bowen, if you would please. Now, the Holy Spirit, then, he regenerates you. The regenerating work, that's salvation. By the way, regenerating word is not the Holy Spirit coming in plus your baptism. It's not Jesus plus speaking in tongues. Now, the truth is, it's not receiving Jesus plus baptism, plus tongues, plus healing, plus the church. Church of Christ. Folks, they say if you don't get baptized in their church, you're going to hell. That's a lie straight out of hell. Catholics say you're not a part of their church, you're going to hell. That's a lie straight out of hell. Now, the truth is, anybody can be saved. Baptist, Catholic, Jew, a Methodist, makes no difference. Everybody can be born again. You don't get to heaven because you're a Baptist. There'll be enough Baptists in hell to hold a Bible conference. Come on now. Regenerating. Now comes sealing. All right? Now we find the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. What the Holy Spirit does, he comes in and he regenerates and brings to life. Then he seals the door so that he's not going to leave you. He seals the door. The door is sealed, and he moves into your heart, into your life, and just clothes and baggage and furniture, and just moves in there and said, I'm going to sit here until the redemption day. I'm going to live in your body until the redemption day. All right, now, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Now, if you can't find these, then just write the verses down. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. The Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Holy Spirit came in, brought you to life, sealed the door, stayed in there, the Holy Spirit of promise. Promise of what? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's taking me out to be with my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Man. All right. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. By the way, look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. The following verse. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. All right, now, regenerating, sealing. All right, now, the third word, stand by the kit, is dwelling, or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Phase one, regenerating. That's when you got born again. April 15, 1957, I got born again. Hallelujah. He, at that same moment, sealed me until he comes back after me. In fact, look at, so many verses. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. And chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Ephesians 4 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So the sealing is there. The Holy Spirit is in your body. He's trapped in your body. He cannot leave your body until you die or until the rapture takes place. All right, now, then there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in your body?" Now, thank God. I could show you a lot of verses. Holy Spirit of God came in here, regenerated you, brought you to life. He sealed the door. That was the second work he did, and he stays in you. Now, phase three, he just doesn't stay in there. Now, he wants to indwell in there. Now, he wants every part of your life. He's looking, he indwells, or he dwells in your body. Illustration. When I lived, what was the street we lived on first? Fleetwood? No. Delwood. I was on, Delwood? I was on Delwood Street. We lived there. And I was preaching in Little Rock, and while I was preaching in Little Rock, my wife moved. And so I came back on Wednesday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, and drove up on Delwood, and shut the lights off and got out and went up, opened the door. When I walked in the house, there wasn't a stitch of furniture in the house, nothing in the house. And so I walked in, and I looked around, and I said, "Well, she finally did it." And walked around, and everything was gone. Well, we'd been looking at a house, but I thought it was 60 days away, 90 days away, before we could close the deal and get moved over there. But somehow, you know how these women are, she finagled it around and got the key and got in that house early. Well, I didn't know it, and I was walking around. I thought, "Oh my goodness, the rapture done took place." And I thought, "Well, the Lord don't want this old furniture." And I walked in the kitchen. She had a note, and it said, "Hi, we've moved." That was a blessing. So I went over to the on Kentucky Street and drove up. She said the key was underneath the mat. I reached under the mat and got the key out, opened the door. Now, there was furniture packed in the living room, and you know how it is when you first move in. You dump everything in the first part of the house. Now, were we in the house? Yes, we were. Did we control the house? No, we didn't. We just had everything dumped into the living room, and we had to move everything into the bathroom and in the bedrooms and everywhere else. Now, what happened? You got saved. Holy Spirit of God moved in. Does he control you yet? Oh, no. He's just been dumped into you yet, and from here on out, there's something that's got to happen, and that is you, my dear friend, must yield to the Holy Spirit of God and allow him to control every area of your life. When the regenerating and the sealing take place, that comes because of receiving. From here on out, it's because of yielding. You see, there's no indwelling without yielding. You folks that watched Simon and Simon last Thursday night, instead of going soul winning because the preacher was out of town, you dirty buzzard bait, you let people die and go to hell just because the preacher's out of town. Why don't you get right with God and get down here? Well, I tell you, the preacher's going to be gone. Ain't no sense showing up. Listen. You won't last 6 months in service for God if every time the preacher's gone, you don't show up for something around here in God's dear name. Get your eyes off the man of God and get your eyes on Jesus. When Dr. Terry Smith was here, when he left, a bunch of people left. You know why? Because they had their eyes on Terry Smith. Thank God he's a great man of God, but I ain't got my eyes on Terry Smith. Man, I got my eyes on Jesus. If I hear that Jack Hiles falls tomorrow night, that doesn't mean my God fell. He's not my God. My God's my God. Get your eyes up and get them on Jesus. Listen, I'd be faithful to church. I don't care if the preacher never did come. I got to answer to God, not to preacher. Come on, say amen to me now. All right, now. So now you go from regenerating to sealing to indwelling. Stand, Brother Winters, if you would, please. Now you come to filling. The filling of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes in, sits down, he starts moving in your life, then he begins to fill your life with his presence. Pretty soon, everything you see with your eyes reminds you of a scripture. Everything you hear with your ears reminds you of a scripture. You find yourself sleeping at night, and you come up with sermon outlines in the middle of the night. You find yourself giving invitations in the middle of the night. You find yourself thinking about Bible things all the time. You find yourself talking about the Word of God, and you find yourself, what is that? Holy Spirit's begin to control your mind, begin to control your heart, and all you do is think about God and think about soul winning. Think about keep people out of hell. That's all you think about. That's all you think about. I was up in Minneapolis. I saw a guy do this. I don't know what hit me, but I decided I'd try to head a pocket of tracks. And we were sitting there, and we were getting ready to get on the plane and fly. And I heard about a fellow doing this, so I decided I'd try it. All the people sitting there, real quiet, you know, and about 15 minutes, we had to get on the plane. I took out some gospel tracks. I stood up, and I said, "May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?" I said, "You'll have to have one of these before you can get on the plane. Would you line up here, please?" Everybody stood up. Everybody got in the line. I said, "This way. Don't crowd. One at a time, please. One at a time." And the first one came by, and I gave him a track, and they said, "Thank you." And they walked on by. About the third one that walked by stopped and said, "Hey, it's a gospel track." Well, I said, "Yeah, that's what it is." "Oh, you're a reverend. Do you know what's wrong with you? You don't think about souls when you're around people. You don't think about people dying." And the first indicator that the Holy Spirit is just indwelling you instead of filling you is when you quit talking to people about their soul's condition before an almighty God and don't care about the people around you. No filling now, just indwelling. All right, would you stand, please, Brother Smith? Now we have fullness. We have regenerating. We have sealing. We have indwelling. We have filling. And then we have fullness. You say, "Oh, can you be full of the Holy Spirit?" Yes, you can. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. Acts chapter 11 and verse 24 and on I could go with the scriptures in the Bible that talk about Christians who were full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. My dear friend, being full of the Holy Ghost of God is when you witness to people and try to keep people out of hell and love the souls of men. Love boys and girls. Love your neighbor. Try to get them saved. My dear friend, that's being full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Now, sit down and let me give you the message. Let me give you some observation and I'll close. Number one, God pricks the heart. Man pricks the will. God pricks the heart. Man pricks the will. You receive Christ. Then you yield from there on to the Lord, and yielding is filling, right? If I took a little cup tonight, our little Lord's Supper cup, and if I fill it to the top, is it full? Yes, it is. If I take the glass of water, and I fill it, is it full? All right. If I take the pitcher that filled the water glasses tonight, and I fill it, is it full? Yes, it is. If I take a big rain barrel and fill it with water, is it full? Yes or no? The only difference is the size of the container that contains the filling. And you listen to me, you are to yield your body and your will to God so that the container can get bigger and get bigger and get bigger and get bigger and get bigger so that the filling can be the same, can be the same, can be the same. But you can have more influence, more water for more people to drink, more bus routes to run, for more boys and girls to ride, more Sunday schools to go on, so that more people can be taught the Word of God. We've got to get bigger. 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 We've got to get bigger, not for our sake, but so that we could have more to give others. You see, yielding is filling. If the little cup, the little Lord's Supper cup, did not yield itself to the juice and did not allow itself to be filled, then it could not be filled. It had to be made first. It had to yield to the juice first before it could be filled. If this were not made and it did not yield to the water, it could not be filled with the water. If the pitcher was not made and did not yield to the water, it could not be filled with the water. And if the rain barrel was not made and was not filled to yield, then it could not be filled. Listen. I'm a little sick and tired of people calling us legalists. All I'm trying to do is build a bigger container. All I'm trying to do is to build a container that doesn't leak. All I'm trying to do is get you tonight to grow and know more scripture and pray more and walk with God more and build a bigger bus route and pray for more power and memorize more scripture and beg God to fill you tonight. Why? Because there's a lot of people out there that are hurting tonight. And we've got to have some people who yield. I need 15 bus drivers. But do you think I can get you men to say, "Yes, I'll drive a bus"? I couldn't pay you $1 million to get you to lose 1 hour sleep on Sunday. You won't lose 1 hour of sleep. Now, what you're doing is saying, I'm not going to go from the little wine cup to the glass. I want to stay the little wine cup. Fill me with the little wine. Listen, I don't know about you. There's something burning in me. I want to do more. I want to do it bigger. And I want to do it better. Well, you say, the visitors come and they say, man, that's a great church. Man, that building's full on Sunday night, and that's great. What's that? I don't care. I want to knock the walls out. I want to build a balcony. I want 30. Thank God for 30 bus routes. But in God's dear name, let's get 50. Only comes by yielding. I'm talking to people tonight, I ought to be working in Sunday school. But you got your little wine, your little grape juice cup, and you walk around with it in your hip pocket, and you're satisfied with it. I want you to come tonight and bring your little grapefruit juice cup down here, like juice cup, and lay it that grapefruit juice. And I've been drinking so much grapefruit juice, everything grapefruit juice. And I want you to bring your little cup down here and put it down at the altar. And I want you to pick up a glass and go back and say, dear God, fill it. Oh, dear God, fill it. If you push God, God will build you something, and then you yield to Him, and God will fill it, and you can do more. I'm talking to a bus captain tonight that came in with 5 and 6 on his bus this morning. You ought to bring your little cup down here and put it at the altar. Say, dear God, give me a glass tonight. Give me a glass tonight. And then get up and yield and go an extra 2 hours, extra 3 hours, and stretch yourself and yield yourself and yield yourself. Yielding is filling. You're waiting for God to slap you off the pew and knock you out of the car so you can have some great illustration to tell somebody someday. No, it was D.L. Moody who was working his fingers to the bone trying to keep boys and girls out of hell. And he stretched himself and stretched himself and stretched himself until God began to build a big barrel in D.L. Moody, and God filled it. I'm talking to people tonight who have a little cup of Sunday night preaching only. A little cup of Sunday morning preaching only. You don't come to Sunday school. You don't come back Wednesday night. You dead sure ain't going soul winning on Thursday night. Why don't you come down here and take your cup and turn it in? Son, come up here. Would you please? Oh, I tell you, folks, oh, God bless you. Thousands of young boys and girls. I just stopped him down walking, they're just shaking hands, and I said, son, I said, why don't you be a preacher? He looked up at me and said, I'm going to be a preacher. Listen, there are thousands of them. Thousands of little boys and little girls need the gospel story. And listen, the adults won't listen, but the kids will. The adults will turn their back on you, and they'll curse your God, and they'll curse your Bible, and they'll curse your gospel. But these young men, they'll receive Christ easily, and that doesn't mean they're any less saved either. Hallelujah. In fact, I believe they're more saved than some of you, because you're trying to trust in everything plus Jesus. Why tonight, in God's name, don't some of you men walk down here and say, I'll lose an hour's sleep, Brother Bowen, give me a bus. I'll drive a bus. I'll do it. Why don't some of you come down and say, let me work on a bus? Oh, you don't realize tonight. You don't realize tonight how much is at stake. We've got to yield. Yielding is filling. What do you have tonight? Do you have maybe a glass? Maybe some of you tonight have got a glass. But don't you thirst for a big old pitcher? Don't you thirst for a big old pitcher? Maybe some of you tonight got a pitcher that's filled. God bless you. But don't you thirst for a rain barrel? Don't you thirst for a bigger container so you can help more people? Listen, young men like this, there's thousands of them out there. And they'll listen to you. They'll listen to you and they'll get saved. Why don't you do something for God? Thank you, son. Do you know what? That young man is taking notes on everything I'm saying tonight. You know why? Because he wants a bigger container. Well, I'll tell you, these young preachers wanting to build the world's largest church, I'll tell you, they just don't know what they're talking about. Let them dream. Let them dream. They may never do what they dream, but in God's dear name, that beats sitting around saying it can't be done. Oh, so much I want to do. 29 years, 30 years this April. I've wasted 15 years of it. God knows I'm going to have a fit on April 15th. Because I believe I'm going to break even. I don't know how much time I've got left, but God knows I'm going to give it everything I got. But I realized something tonight. The only way I can is by yielding. Because when I yield, then God can fill me. All right, for example, grow in grace and knowledge. If you haven't memorized any more scripture this year than what you memorized last year, you're not growing. That's how you make the container bigger. If you're not down here driving a bus or doing, I've got a ministry doing something to keep somebody out of hell and work with people, you're not yielding, you're not growing. Where were you last Thursday night? That's been bothering me ever since I got back in town. Where were you? What were you doing last Thursday night at 7 o'clock? It was more important than being in that room over there getting ready to go keep somebody out of hell. Huh? Well, I was working overtime. Well, I bet you were rejoicing over that, weren't you? Why don't you just tell those fellows you work with, God bless you, I love you, and I'm going soul winning tonight. Yielding is filling. Ask Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson, you hear him tell this story. Dr. Lee Robertson, are you filled with the Spirit of God right now? What Dr. Robertson will say? If you'll ask me, because you're in the process of yielding every day. If you asked me about a year ago, I can tell you. But don't ask me tonight. A man that's busy working for God, he ain't got time to figure out what his motives are. He ain't got time to figure out whether he's filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He's just trying to keep people out of hell. Just ask God to fill him. Go on. But God's not going to fill a lazy rascal. It's not running a bus route, teaching a Sunday school class, not doing something to keep somebody out of hell. God's not going to fill that lazy rascal. Number two, the saved possess all the power of God in their body. The saved possess all of the power of God in their body. Brother, God came into my body. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about the one that made the worlds. He lives in my body. Don't look at your watch. You look at your watch. I had 15 minutes to the message. Don't look at it. I ain't kidding. And if you don't say amen, we had 20 minutes to the message. These guys from Michigan are a little slow. Number three, the saved release or resist the Spirit of God to possess the body of man. The saved release or resist the Spirit of God to possess the body of man. Listen, you're the one who makes up your mind. You either release or resist. Have you ever been there in a service and everybody else is with it and shouting, waving their Bibles, and you're sitting there like this? Huh? People around here don't give me a watch for my birthday. They give me a calendar. In the back of the auditorium. Hey! Quit talking while I'm preaching. Not kidding. You don't come to church to socialize, you come to listen to preaching. And that's the reason you sit back there too, so you can talk. You wouldn't do that down front, would you? Huh? And quit it back there. Let me tell you why you sit in the back of the auditorium. Because you're not right with God. Made me mad. Good. Got your attention, didn't I? There's a reason why you don't want to get close to the preacher. There's power right here. Huh? Well, let me tell you something, man. I go to conference where I preach. I sit on the front. You don't catch me sitting in the back. Why? I need Howard Hall's 130th time on how to pay a preacher. I said to Scott one night, I said, you want to go with me? And he said, no, Dad. I said, why is that? He said, both you and Brother Hall are going to preach the same sermon. I said, you're going to tell him how to behave, and he's going to tell him how to pay. Now, let me tell you something. You preacher boys ought to fight for these front pews. Or to fight for. Hello? Hello? All right, you love that one so much, we'll move along. Number four. Proportionate yielding by the saved produces proportionate filling by the Spirit. As much as you yield is as much as you'll be filled. Well, what do you mean, driving a bus on Sunday morning, you're yielding and God's going to fill you. You mean cleaning out a bathroom down at the church is going to help me? Sure. Anytime you yield your body, that's one less soap opera you'll be watching. That's one less punk record you'll be listening to. Next statement. The results of the release of the Spirit of God depend upon the will of God. The results of the release of the Spirit of God depend on the will of God. This, it is not God's will for everybody to be a Jack Hiles or a Lee Robertson or a D.L. Moody. It is not God's will. Now, whatever God's called you to do is just as important as what Jack Hiles is doing. And the truth is, little Mrs. Tunis, who's the first bus captain at First Baptist Church Hammond, 27 years, that little lady's going to walk away with the goods at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, the results of the release of the Spirit of God depend upon the will of God. What you need to determine is, what is God's will for my life? Listen, you ladies can't be a Jack Hiles. You'd have to go join Tammy Faye if you're going to try to be some great woman preacher. But I tell you one thing, if you can raise your children to love God and serve God, then you'll walk away with the goodies at the judgment seat of Christ. Last statement. The whole story will be told at the judgment seat of Christ. The whole story will be told at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know that everything is going to be told at the judgment seat of Christ? And what I'm doing now is trying to work to keep as many people out of hell as I can, to get them trained to keep others out of hell, and train them to love God and produce for God. Because one day we're all going to stand before God. Now listen, if you yield tonight, I'm talking, there's 15 minutes. Listen, there's not one thing, there's not one need that this church has that the body here does not have to fulfill. Not one. Now, I need 15 bus drivers. I mean 15 fellas that haven't had 35 wrecks in the last 2 weeks. Surely there's got to be 15 fellas in this room that haven't had 10 wrecks in the last 10 days. I got to have you. Why? I'm trying to build an empire? No, we're trying to keep people out of hell. I want my vessel to be bigger. All right, we need Sunday school teachers tonight. We need Sunday school helpers tonight. That's what we need. You guys slay me. You preacher boys slay me. You owe him $1,000 at the college, and yet you want to go in every pulpit in the area and tell him how to serve God. I'll tell you how you ought to live. Well, let me tell you how to live. Why don't you pay up? Sit still. Give me a pulpit so I can tell some people off. While you do dirty, rotten things like owe people money. I'll tell you how to live when you don't. You can't even live. Quit looking around. You're just as guilty as he is. Everybody said, I know who he's talking about. Yeah, I know who he's talking about. Look, why don't you yield tonight? Why don't you get right with God? Are you watching dirty movies? Well, no. They just cuss every once in a while. Do you watch television with a naked woman on it? No, just a commercial. You know what you are? You're numb. You know, there's one thing you need to understand, whether it's President Reagan or Tammy Faye Baker or Jim Baker or anybody else, and I can name some preachers in our own that I know, they always get caught. Always. You don't lie and cover it up. You don't live one way and talk another way without it coming out someday. You always get caught. Now, if you're not yielding to God tonight, Donnie, Put your elbow down and look at me. What are you doing back there? You get on the front row next time. If you're not yielding to God tonight, you're yielding to somebody. You know what? You better thank God that there's an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation preacher to get these old boys and tell you, you live right. You live right. You live right. You live right. You better thank God you preacher boys got a preacher that'll get up and tell you to live right. Tell you to live right and tell you to live right and tell you to live right. You better thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we've got enough preachers in America that don't give a rip tonight. They'll preach their homiletical messages and let their teenagers act like a bunch of barnyard animals and let the adults go to the devil. It's time somebody got up and started preaching hell. Why don't you yield to God so the Holy Spirit of God can fill you? You got cigarettes in your pocket tonight? You tell me you're right with God. Can we go out to your car tonight and turn the radio on, a radio on and find out what it's set on tonight? Well, we need some help. It's more than just bus drivers. Boys like this need to be saved. By the way, they'll surrender priests just like that. Now, they won't do it in a liberal church. Some old liberal boy comes out and he says, God. He's got his bathrobe on, forgot to take it off. God is going to meet with us today. No little boy runs down there and says, Goody, can I be a queer too? Buddy, you let some hellfire damnation preacher get up and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. And every little old boy runs down there and says, wow, I want to be one of those. I've always wanted to tell somebody off. Now let's get with it. Let's yield ourselves tonight.